Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, April 30, 2024, Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. One of the most significant prophetical passages in the word of God. Joel 2, 28 to 32. So special in the eyes of the Orthodox Jews, they made a special chapter just for those verses. In a chapter in the Hebrew scriptures, Joel 2, 28 to 32 is Joel chapter 3, 1 through 5. So this is a very, very powerful and significant prophetical passage. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon all over planet Earth, as we see the temporary ruler of this world shifting into high gear, as we see the apostasy and degeneracy of client nation USA, and as we see the satanic attack on Israel and the Ukraine, we are comforted by your word to know that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, sir, for that. We thank you for one more day of freedom to assemble in a sound doctrinal teaching church like this one, that we might grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, an article, In Defense of Israel. The nations of planet Earth are presently engaged in a deadly game of brinksmanship. It's happening on every continent. In Europe, Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine threatens to engulf the region. And European wars have a tendency to become world wars. Finland and Sweden, two previously neutral countries, recently joined NATO. Sweden had been neutral since the early 1800s. It resisted taking sides in World Wars I and II, as well as the Cold War. But not anymore. Sweden finally joined NATO this year, while its neighbor Finland joined in 2023. What happened to Finland and Sweden's traditional stance of neutrality. Vladimir Putin happened. The communist leaders of Soviet Russia were not enough to get them into NATO. But Vladimir Putin's war on Ukraine scared everyone in Europe. It awakened memories of Adolf Hitler, of global war, and of Holocaust. Nations across the globe feel vulnerable and are looking for safety. They are arming as never before. China's new high-tech weapons, its unprecedented military buildup, and its aggressions in the South China Sea and Taiwan have also scared the nations. Reuters reported a year and a half ago that between then and 2027, Japan will undertake its biggest arms buildup since World War II in a race to deter Beijing from war in East Asia. Direct acts of violence resulting from the Israel-Hamas war have already touched nations everywhere. With Iran's locked grip on the Shiite Muslim world, it has stirred up nation after nation into acts of war against Israel and anyone seen as Israel's allies. The Middle East has been a powder keg for a long time. But now, it is a powder keg in a lightning storm. These and a host of other things going on today make a perfect setup for events that the Bible says will take place during the 7-year tribulation period. I believe those years are very close. But they are not imminent. The global conflagrations described in Revelation will not take place until after the rapture. That is, until after God has evacuated his people from the planet. The rapture concludes the church age. All believers on planet Earth are removed at the rapture. The only people left after the rapture, unbelievers. Now some of you ask, what's holding things up? Why doesn't God just get on with it? Well, you know, beware if you start thinking that way. Go ahead, Lord, send the lightning and take those people out. 2 Peter 3:9, and you've heard this many, many times, answers, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You see, when he designed Operation Grace the Cross and sent his son from heaven to earth on that first Christmas to take on true humanity, to go to a cross, he gathered up the sins of the whole world. The whole world, every sin of every human being, and poured it out on Christ and judged them in Christ. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone on planet Earth is savable. Potentially can have eternal salvation because of the operation, grace, the plan of salvation from the Father and carried out by God the Son. God does not wish for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God's slowness is the result of His grace in action, His mercy. But He will not delay forever. In the Old Testament, Israel came under God's judgment many times, over and over. They failed God. They sinned against God. They rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected God's messengers. They rejected God's word. And then added to that, they had sacrificed their own children. The thing that often triggers the judgment from God is harm to children. For instance, they engaged in child sacrifice to idols. And children are being abused on an institutional level today. And it's happening all over the world. If children survive the early days, psychological tricks are played on them in their classrooms and in their entertainments. Tricks designed to inoculate them against receiving the gospel. And tricks made to confuse them and make them miserable. Could these things trigger the time of judgment on the earth? Yes. In the meantime, every day is an act of God's mercy and kindness, giving people time and space to come to Him and allowing those of us who know Him to proclaim the grace gospel to the whole world. Jesus said in John 9, verse 4, we must work the works of Him, God the Father, who sent me, as long as it is day, because night is coming when no man can work. That's a great introduction to our great prophetical passage, Joel 2, 28 to 32. One of the most significant prophetical passages in the Word of God that describes that part of the day of the Lord concerning the second advent of Jesus Christ and the millennial kingdom, that golden age, 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. It's only five verses long. Joel 2, 28 and 29, the millennial kingdom will be a time of great spirituality. A kind of spirituality that the world has never seen or never known, with great ecstatics. In Joel 2, 30 and 31, it tells us when this will take place. And in Joel 2, 32, gives the qualifications for entering the millennial kingdom. Joel 2, 28 and 29 says, and it will come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. The millennial kingdom, all unbelievers are removed from the earth through the baptism of fire. And the millennial kingdom begins with believers only. Everyone on planet Earth at the beginning of the millennium are believers in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Holy Spirit is poured out on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. Verse 29, and even on the male and female slaves, servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days in the millennial kingdom. So the millennial kingdom. In the millennial kingdom, the God, the Holy Spirit, will be manifested in all of His fullness. The ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in the millennium will include great ecstatics. The ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in the millennial kingdom will be much greater than during any other period of human history. And then in Joel 2, 30 and 31, it gives us the signs preceding the day of the Lord, specifically the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. And in verse 30, it says, I will display miraculous signs in the heavens and in the earth. The miraculous signs that will occur in the heavens are given in verse 31. The miraculous signs that will occur on the earth are given in the rest of verse 30. And three miraculous signs are given in the rest of verse 30. Miraculous sign number one is blood. And blood describes the horrific judgment of human life on planet Earth in the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. When the fourth seal of judgment, seal judgment is opened, one-fourth of the world's population will be killed. Revelation 6, 7, and 8. At the second trumpet judgment, one-third of the sea will turn into blood, and one-third of the living creatures in the sea will die. Revelation 8, 8, and 9. At the sixth trumpet judgment, one-third of mankind will be killed. Revelation 9, 13 to 21. At the second bowl judgment, the remaining sea will turn to blood, causing all sea creatures to die. Revelation 16, verse 3. In the Armageddon campaign, blood will reach to the horses' bridles, 4.5 feet deep for a distance of 180 miles. Revelation 14, 19 and 20. Revelation 16, 12 to 16. The blood also refers to the slaughter of believers in the day of the Lord. For you see, there will be the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, proclaiming the grace gospel throughout the world. And there will be many who will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but most of them will be martyred for their faith in Christ. Revelation says they will be beheaded, martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. So the blood also refers to the slaughter of believers in the day of the Lord by the Antichrist and ecumenical religion, Revelation 17, 1 to 6. So the first miraculous sign is blood. Miraculous sign number two is fire. And fire will devastate the earth in the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. When the seventh seal judgment is opened, fire will be hurled on the earth. Revelation 8, 1 through 6. At the first trumpet judgment, one-third of the earth is burned up. One-third of the trees are burned up. All the grass is burned up. Revelation 8, 7. At the second trumpet judgment, something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. And one third of the sea turned into blood. One third of the living creatures in the sea died. And one third of the ships were destroyed. Revelation 8, 8 and 9. At the third trumpet judgment, a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on one third of the rivers and on the springs of waters, making one third of the fresh water supply of the earth unfit for human consumption, and many people will die. Revelation 8, 10 and 11. At the fourth bowl judgment, the sun will be given power to scorch people with fire. Revelation 16, verses 8 and 9. So the first miraculous sign, blood. The second miraculous sign, fire. Miraculous sign number 3, columns of smoke. The Hebrew word here is timarah. And timarah means a column. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew lexicon, page 1071, says that this specifically describes a palm-like column. Now, you ought to be able to figure this out because we have palm trees all around Las Vegas. A palm-like column spreading out at the top. This perfectly describes a mushroom cloud. See, how are you going to describe a nuclear attack in the day of Joel? Perfectly described here. Timarah. It's like a palm-like column spreading out at the top. Perfectly describing a mushroom cloud from a nuclear explosion. And Ashan is the Hebrew word for smoke. And therefore, these columns of smoke spread out at the top like a nuclear explosion. This described the destruction of the ecumenical religious system of the tribulation in many passages. Revelation 17, 15 to 18. Revelation 18, 1 to 3. Revelation 18, 8 to 10. Revelation 18, 16 to 19, Revelation 19, 1 through 3. The most graphic picture of smoke is described with the fifth trumpet judgment. Smoke rising from the abyss will be so dense that it will darken the atmosphere, blotting out the light of the day. Revelation 9, 1 through 11. And emerging from the smoke of the abyss will come an unspeakable judgment of demonic spirits possessing horrific bodies, which will be used to torment unbelievers on planet Earth. Revelation 9, 3 through 11. The abyss is a prison for the first demon assault army under the command of Abaddon. And Abaddon is Satan's right-hand man, right-hand demon. And his name, Abaddon, means destruction. Now, so in Joel 2:30 sounds like this, and I will display miraculous signs in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. That's the miraculous signs on planet Earth. Now, verse 31, the miraculous signs in the heavens are given. Two miraculous signs in the heavens are given. Miraculous sign number one, in the heavens, the sun shall be turned into darkness. We have the Hebrew noun shemesh with a definite article plus the niphal imperfect of the verb hafak. plus the preposition lameth prefix to the noun koshek, shemesh. S-H-E-M-E-S-H, Shemesh. And Shemesh is the Hebrew noun for the sun, with the definite article, the sun. And then we have the verb hafak, H-A-P-H-A-K, hafak. And the Hebrew verb hafak as a transitive verb means it takes a direct object, means to turn about, to turn over. However, hafak as an intransitive verb, which is what we have, means to turn in the sense of to change or to change into. The nifal stem is the passive of the kal stem and means to be turned, to be changed. And then we have the preposition lameth, which is the preposition to. El shava, to. And then the noun koshek. C-H-O-S-H-E-K, koshek. And koshek is the Hebrew word for darkness. The sun will be turned or changed to darkness. One. When the sun is turned to darkness, that implies a time of great dread and terror and judgment. When the sun is turned to darkness, that implies a time on planet Earth of great dread and terror and judgment. Two. This darkness will occur on the day of the second advent. It will be totally dark. Everyone will be, they know something's up. And the only light at the second advent of Jesus Christ is the glory of Jesus Christ. The only light will be Jesus Christ returning to planet Earth. And every eye on planet Earth will see Him and mourn. They know their goose is cooked. The darkness, the sun turned to darkness, implies a time of great dread and terror and judgment. Two, this darkness will occur on the day of the second advent. Three, this is the darkness that holds up the armies at Armageddon. Four, this is the darkness that protects the believers who have survived the tribulation and will be delivered into the millennial kingdom by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the darkness that protects the believers who have survived the tribulation, that were not martyred for their faith in Christ. They will be rescued by Jesus Christ, and He will bring them into the golden age of the millennium. So the corrected translation, the sun will be turned to darkness. Now that brings us to miraculous sign number two in the heavens. Miraculous sign number two, and the moon into blood. This is the conjunction vav prefixed to the noun yariak, plus the preposition lameth once again, prefixed to the noun dom, and we've already had dom. You know that one. Yariak. Y-A-R-E-A-C-H. Yariak. And yariak is the Hebrew noun for the moon. And then dom, we've already had that. That's the noun blood. You know that one. The moon will be turned into the same color as blood. It'll be a red moon. And a red moon is a dark moon. So the corrected translation, the sun will be turned, changed to darkness, and the moon to blood, red moon. So the miraculous signs in the heavens will affect both the sun and the moon. And the Lord Jesus Christ predicted there will be signs in the heavens just prior to his return at the second advent. Turn over to Matthew 24. The Lord Jesus Christ predicted that there would be signs in the heavens just prior to his return. Matthew 24, starting at verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. It'll be a red moon or a dark moon. And the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the nations of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Power and great glory. The only light will be the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No sun, no moon. It'll be the glory of Jesus Christ coming back. Every eye will see him. So a corrected translation, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. That is a red moon or dark moon. And then we have before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. That's the King James. We have the preposition lameth prefixed to the noun paneh, plus the noun yom with the tetragrammaton, plus the adjective gadol with the definite article, with the nifal active participle of yare, and the verb bo. The preposition lameth is prefixed to the noun paneh. So we have the lameth, that's El Shavah, and that's prefixed to the noun paneh. That's P-A-N-E-H. So when you prefix the lama to panes, it comes out and you look at one word, lifne. And Lamed means to, panez, the Hebrew word face. So literally, this says to the face of, and it comes to mean in the presence of, in front of, or before. And that's the best translation. Before, lifne, before. And then the verb bo, be long o aleph, bo. And bo is the verb to come, or the coming. And this is the coming. And then we have yom plus the tetragrammaton. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is then modified by two terms. Term number one, Hagadol. H-A-G-A-D, long O-L. Ha, that's the definite article. The great. So the day of the Lord is first of all described as Hagadol, the great day of the Lord. And then the second term that describes this day, the day of the Lord, the Nifal active participle of Yareh. Y-A-R-E, Aleph, Yareh. A couple of things on the verb Yareh. One, Yareh literally means in the Hebrew to fear. To fear or to be afraid. To fear or to be afraid. Two, the Nifal stem is the passive of the Kal stem, and therefore means to receive fear, to receive terror, to receive dread. That's the Nifal stem. To receive fear, to receive terror, to receive dread. Point three, the participle is adjectival, describing the day of the Lord. And as an adjectival participle, it means fearful. Fearful day of the Lord. Dreadful. Dreadful day of the Lord. Terror-stricken. Terror-stricken day of the Lord. Four, unbelievers all over planet Earth will be stricken with fear and dread and terror at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievers all over planet Earth will be stricken with fear and dread and terror at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Joel 2:30-31 says, and I will display miraculous signs in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. That's the miraculous signs on planet Earth. And now the miraculous signs in the heaven, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood or dark before the coming of the great and terror-stricken day of the Lord. Before the coming of the great and terror-stricken day of the Lord. Now, today, because we have very little sound doctrinal teaching today, there's a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion just concerning the second coming of Christ. There are a lot of Christians who think that the rapture of the church is the second coming of Christ. But it's not. The rapture of the church is not the second coming of Christ. Many believers call the rapture the second coming, but it's not the second coming. The rapture and the second advent of Christ are two completely different events. The rapture will take place 7 years prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. First coming was the first advent, his incarnation and virgin birth. The second coming, he will come with great power and glory at the end of the tribulation period. So the rapture is not the second coming of Christ. And therefore, it is imperative that the believer in Jesus Christ rightly divide the word of truth and distinguish between the rapture and the second advent. So let's note the distinction between the rapture and the second advent. You should have this nailed down. The distinction between the rapture and the second advent. First of all, the rapture is private. The second advent is public. The rapture is private. Nobody's going to know about it on planet Earth. They're going to look around. The unbelievers who are left here are saying, hey, those idiot Christians are all gone. Yahoo! Woo! We won! But they don't realize, it's private. The rapture's private. Nobody on planet Earth will see it or know anything about it. It's just one day, here are all these Christians on the earth, and the next day, they're not here. Now, if you happen to come to Upland Bible Church, and Pastor Olson, and Pastor's wife, and 99% of the people here are not here, and you're still here, you're screwed. The rapture's over. Now you get to go through that great and terror-stricken day of the Lord. Oh, what a lucky guy or gal. So the rapture is private. It's only for the royal family of God. The second advent is public. Every eye will see him. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4, the great passage on the rapture, one of the great passages. 1 Corinthians 15 is the other one. But 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, this is one of the great central passages on the doctrine of the resurrection of the royal family of God, the rapture. But look at verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, come down from the third heaven, the throne of God, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be harpazoed. That's raptured, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I want you to notice that. Air. This takes place in the air. A-E-R, that's the atmospheric heavens. The Lord Jesus Christ leaves the throne of God, third heavens, comes down into the atmospheric heavens. Nobody sees him on planet Earth, and there in the atmospheric heaven, the dead in Christ rise first, then those who are still living on the earth are harpazoed, raptured, and caught up to meet them in the atmospheric heaven that takes place in the air. Now that's important because the second advent takes place on planet Earth. Jesus Christ, not in the heavens, not in the air, but on the Mount of Olives. His foot will touch down on the Mount of Olives when he comes back at the second advent to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. So the rapture is private only for the royal family of God, the dead in Christ first, and then those who are living, caught up to meet the Lord in the atmospheric heavens, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Second Advent is public. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1. It's public. Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 7. Look, he is the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming with the clouds, and every eye on planet Earth, every eye will see him. And that's why that day that he comes back in second advent will be a 24-hour day, one revolution of planet Earth. So every single person on planet Earth will see Jesus Christ coming back. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. They're mourning because judgment is coming. So shall it be. Amen. So, first of all, the rapture's private, only for the royal family of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, dead in Christ, and then those who are living on the earth meet the Lord in the air. While the second advent is public, every eye will see him. Secondly, the rapture takes place in the atmospheric heavens. And I just showed you that, the Greek word air. That's atmospheric heavens. The rapture takes place in the heavens. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The second advent will take place on the earth, the Mount of Olives. Turn over to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. So the rapture will take place in the air, the atmospheric heavens. The second advent takes place on the earth. Zechariah 14, verse 4. On that day, his feet, the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split. A great, great earthquake will take place when Jesus Christ's feet touch down on the Mount of Olives. Will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. Now, scientists have gone to the Mount of Olives, and they have discovered one of the largest fault lines in the world, running right through the middle of the Mount of Olives. What luck! Right through the Mount of Olives. And it will split when Jesus Christ's feet touch down on the Mount of Olives. So the rapture takes place in the air, the atmospheric heavens. Second advent takes place on the earth. Three, the rapture is followed by the evaluation of the royal family of God at the judgment seat of Christ, which we studied in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. So the rapture is followed by the evaluation of the royal family of God at the judgment seat of Christ, while the second advent is followed by the baptism of fire, where all unbelievers are judged and removed from the earth. So the rapture is followed by the evaluation of the royal family of God at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, while the second advent is followed by the baptism of fire, where all unbelievers are judged and removed from the earth. Only believers go into the millennial kingdom. It starts with believers only. Turn over to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Matthew 3. John, the one who happened to baptize some people, is speaking. Matthew 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, whose sandals I am not fit to even carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's the church age. The first time we have the baptism of the Spirit is the church age, and this is for believers. At the moment of faith in Christ, you have the only baptism that you must have, the baptism of the Spirit. It's the result of faith in Jesus Christ. You're identified with Christ in his death and burial and in his resurrection. You are placed in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And now you are royal family of God. And that's the baptism of the believers, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And with fire, the baptism of fire. And that is the baptism of all unbelievers. And then his winnowing fork, verse 12, is in his hand. And he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat, the believers, into the barn, the millennial kingdom, and burning up the chaff, unbelievers, with unquenchable fire, the baptism of fire at the second advent. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 1. Second Thessalonians 1, start at verse 7. God is just, and he will pay trouble, back trouble to those who trouble you, and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. And this is true for all Jewish unbelievers as well as all Gentile unbelievers. All Jewish unbelievers, Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20, verses 34 to 38. Ezekiel 20, verse 34. I will bring you from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with outpoured wrath, judgment from the holiness of God. I will bring you into the desert of the nations, and there, face to face, I will execute judgment upon you, Jewish unbelievers. Just as I judge your fathers in the desert of the land of Egypt, So I will judge you, declares the sovereign Lord. And then all Gentile unbelievers are judged by the baptism of fire. Turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, when He returns at the second advent, at the time there is total darkness on planet Earth. The only light is the glory of Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations, all the Gentiles, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep, believers, on His right, and the goats, unbelievers, on His left. And then the King will say to those on His right, the believers, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then down in verse 41. And then He will say to those on His left, unbelievers, depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So again, point three, the rapture is followed by the evaluation of the royal family of God at the judgment seat of Christ. The second advent is followed by the baptism of fire, where all unbelievers are judged and removed from the earth. Point four. At the rapture, the church goes to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. At the second advent, the church returns to planet earth with Jesus Christ as His bride. At the rapture, the church goes to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. At the second advent, the church returns to planet earth with Jesus Christ as His bride. Revelation 19. Turn over to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come. And His bride, that's us, the church, the royal family, has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the grace, righteous production of the saints. And then look over at verse 14, because in chapter 19, verses 11 to 16, we have the second coming of Christ. Look over at verse 14. The armies of heaven were following Him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. This is the bride of Christ, the royal family of God. So at the rapture, the church goes to heaven. At the second advent, the church returns to earth with Christ as His bride. Five, at the rapture, the Holy Spirit is removed. That is, His restraining ministry is removed from the earth. At the second advent, Satan is removed from the earth. So at the rapture, the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 and 7. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. That's the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit today in the church age. We're living at the time when the restraining ministry of the Spirit is operating. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back, the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit, will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And when is he taken out of the way? The rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. So at the rapture, the Holy Spirit is removed, his restraining ministry at the second advent. Satan is removed, Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And we have seen that. We can look at it again, Revelation 20. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. During the millennial kingdom, Satan is bound in prison in the abyss. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him, to keep Satan from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended, the end of the millennium. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So at the rapture, the restraining ministry of the Spirit's removed. At the second advent, Satan is removed. All right, well, we're partway through the distinction. Don't ever think that the rapture is the second coming of Christ. It is not. Totally different between the rapture takes place 7 years before the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. But, you know, I'll tell you, today, even among fundamental churches, the doctrine of dispensational truth is not taught. It's not being taught. And Christians don't even know dispensational truth. All you have to do is study the Word of God and you wind up. This is, where do you get the doctrine of dispensation? From the Word of God. But you got to study the Word of God. That's all. Study, it's right there. Just taking the truth of the Word of God, and you have the doctrine of dispensation, dispensational truth. But we don't, that's not being taught today. And so a lot of fundies are all mixed up and confused on this regard. But you shouldn't be. And we're halfway through this, actually a little less than halfway through. But we'll pick it up again next Tuesday. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge us, that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.